Good morning. Our last Sunday in the year 2018, which means that next Sunday begins a whole new year. Oh, okay. Welcome. I'm on top of that, right, Bruce? Yeah. Welcome to our members, our guests, our visitors. We're happy to have you all worship with us this morning. I want to lift up just a couple things in the bulletin. I'm going to let you look at the others. But just note on the last page that Concordia collected $4,520.64 for the Salvation Army, and that money stays here in this community. I do believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that $1,000 of that was given by the United Methodist Women from the proceeds from the bazaar. Is that correct, Mary? $500. Okay. All right. So, and the Salvation Army helps to put, if people are traveling through or are homeless, they will put people up for a night or give them a meal. It's similar to what we do with our Good Samaritan Fund. So we're thankful for that. Also notice that the community meal will be this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Are there other announcements that anyone would like lifted up? Okay, then will you turn to hymn number 2092 in the black hymnal. Birth of Jesus, but how shall we know him when he comes? Will Jesus come to us as a prince or a pauper? God, make us truly ready to receive the gift of Jesus. Open our hearts to the good news Jesus brings to us. And now in the red hymnal, turn to number 240, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Thank you.
us pray together. Most holy God, we run to be in your presence, greeted by your love. We rejoice in the joy of you. Affirm us in your purpose. Reveal to us your plans. Assure us of your promise that forever will fill our days with you. Amen. You may be seated, and I invite the young ones to come up to the front of the church. Let's sit over here, huh? Oh, okay. Did you get one of these the other night? Would you like another one? No? Okay. Well, I've got a few extra, you see. We got to get rid of all this stuff, don't we? Because Christmas is all over with. It's not over with? Oh, we don't have to get rid of it. Oh, well, I don't mean get rid of it. But shouldn't we just put this stuff downstairs and forget about Christmas now? What's left to think about? God? And what God's going to do in Jesus? Or through Jesus? Yeah, you're right. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. How old are you? 11. And how old are you? You got a few years. And your sister must be about 13. You're just, perfect. Because the scripture today we're going to read is about the only thing we know about Jesus from the time that he was a baby until he was 12 years old. And then we don't hear anything again until he's grown up. So we're going to hear about Jesus being a 12-year-old. Do you think it was easier for Jesus to be a 12-year-old than it is for Ava? I don't think so. Because I don't know if Jesus really knew when he was 12 years old if he was the Son of God also. I'm just not sure about that, because do you know what you want to be when you grow up? No? You haven't made your mind up yet? Have you? Have you thought about it? What do you think about? Like, do you want to be a football star? No. A basketball star? Yes, okay. What do you want to be? Do you want to be a dancer? You don't know? Oh, how did I know? Oh, let me tell you. I wanted to be a nurse. And then I wanted to be a translator, like working at the United Nations and translating languages. But in order to do that, I had to know more than English. And all I knew was English. So then I was working with senior citizens for a while. And I had no plans at all to be a pastor. When I graduated from high school, I said, the last thing I'll ever be is a pastor. So I guess we don't know, do we? God surprises us sometimes. Yeah, and that's what the scripture is about today. It's kind of how God surprises us. Okay? Is this your doll? No. Is this one that stays here all year round? Okay. All right. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is how God surprises us and how we figure out what we're going to be when we grow up. I don't know if there's very many people here who became what they really wanted, that became what they wanted to be when they were little. Because how many men here wanted to grow up to be football players or basketball players? Okay, see, there's a few. Okay, how many women wanted to be dancers? Okay, how many wanted to be famous singers, men or women? Okay. And it's possible that they could be famous at that. But we haven't heard about their fame yet. So, we don't really know. But it's something for us to think about. Because every one of us has a purpose. God has a purpose for all God's children. And you're God's children, right? And your sister's God's child, right? And your parents are God's children, right? We're all God's children. Okay. And so God has a special purpose for us, just the way God had a special purpose for Jesus. Do you pray with me? Okay. Thank you, God, that you created us and you have a plan for us. Like Jesus and like Samuel, help us to know what our purpose is. Amen. Thank you. My turn, right? Yeah. That's what I thought. Okay. I'm reading first today. Okay. I'm reading first from 1 Samuel chapter 2. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift she has made to the Lord." And then they would return to their home. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow, both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. And from the book of Colossians. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
As Jesus came to us as a little baby to bring light to a dark and weary and sad world, as a lighthouse shows the way to sailors, bringing them home in the dark. And as we lit the Advent calendar and the Christ candle during this past season to bring light into our house, so all of us can find a light at the end of the darkness.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I was blind, but now I see.
There's a light at the end of the darkness, and it shines for all the world to see. Sorry, folks.
Technical difficulties.
There's a light.
Light at the end of the darkness.
As I said earlier, Jesus jumped from being a baby on Tuesday to being a 12-year-old today. Now, every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the word of God. May God bless the reading and the hearing of the word. Don't all of us know a child who is truly remarkable? If we have children, certainly it's our children. And if our children have grown and proved that they're not quite so remarkable as we thought, our children, our grandchildren, are surely proving to us that they are remarkable. There was a group of parents when I was in Biola who we would get together and we would inevitably start talking about our children and the child who got 100 on the third grade reading comprehension test, or the child that went to state with the fourth grade invention project, or the child who grew so much in 1 year that he went from a player on the basketball team to the starter, and he was 6'4" or 6'7", something like that, and he was always going to be a starter. That remarkable children. There was one group, set of parents among us who had 5 children, and we would be talking about how wonderful and remarkable our children were. And Kim and Barry would turn to one another and they would say, "Our children are so remarkably average." And it did help some of the other parents then kind of tone down for a while. Today we heard about 2 children who truly were remarkable. First, the son of Elkanah and Hannah. And we know the story of how desperately Hannah wanted a child. One of my daughter's best friends from high school is going through that right now. Their friends are having babies, and it looks like she may not be able to have one of their own. And that's so painful. And I can understand Hannah's pain. Except that it would have been worse for Hannah, because she would have been ridiculed in that community for being barren. It would have been suggested to her that she did something wrong, or she would be able to have a child. And one particular year when they went to Shiloh to make their sacrifice, she was crying bitterly. She was in physical pain because she could not have a child. So she was sick from not eating, and she was sick from weeping, and she said, "God, please, please, if I could have a child, I would give this child to you." And she went home and she bore a child. And after he was weaned, she and Elkanah went to Shiloh for the festival and made what must have been a very difficult sacrifice, so that, as we heard today, they saw their son once a year. She made clothes for him, and I'm sure there were other gifts that they took to him for him as well. Jesus' story is more familiar to us. As I said, it's the only story that we have in our scriptures of what happened in between his birth and when he was 30 years old and began his ministry. Something that hit me this week that never has before, and being 12 years old, in our society, Odie is not even close to being a man, is he? Physically, emotionally, he's a boy. Ava, you're a young woman, but you're not an adult. You're not even close by standards in our culture. And Livy, you just got to follow them. We don't expect that 12-year-old children are going to be considered men or women. If Jesus, at 12 years old, had any of that fuzz that men first get, if he had two hairs, he would have been considered a man. That's all it took to be considered a man at that time, were the physical changes that he went through. He would have completed the bar mitzvah. He would have completed those studies. So he would have known when he was sitting with the rabbis and the teachers in the temple. He would have or should have known some of that stuff, some of the learnings that were passed from generation to generation. But Jesus considered himself a man, or he wouldn't have stayed there. He sat there with the teachers and was able to converse in a way that not all of us can about the Holy Scriptures. He knew the story of his Jewish faith. And it was a part of who he was, not because he was God, but because he was human. Because year after year, his parents had taught him that. Sometimes we don't want Jesus to be human. We say he was fully God and fully human, and we want him to be fully God, fully divine. And we sometimes ascribe to him some qualities that he really didn't have at the age of 12. He couldn't read minds. He didn't know everything because he was human. And we see some of that humanity in him today. He stays in Jerusalem because he's a man. Mary and Joseph come looking for him, and they're frantic. Have you ever lost sight of your child in a mall or something? Or children go somewhere, and they don't tell you where they're going, and you don't know where they are, especially in our culture now. Children don't have the freedom to come and go as they did because we fear for them. One time, Devin went out of my sight. No, let's see. Devin, I knew where he was, but he didn't know where I was. He was in the mall just kind of wandering, and I stepped back to watch him, to keep an eye on him. And when I saw him look around and not be able to see me, and that panicked look on his face, there was more panic in me at that point. And I knew where he was. But to see my child with that kind of panic, that's how Mary and Joseph felt about their son. And then this irreverent 12-year-old dismisses them. Have you ever had a child dismiss you? You've had a child dismiss you. He dismissed their anxiety and their fear and their concern. Jesus was very human. And as a human boy, he went home with his parents. Up until this point, the only signs that Jesus was special, remarkable, came through others. The angels proclaimed it. Mary, Elizabeth, and Zechariah, the shepherds, they all knew that. And now in this reading today, we can see some of Jesus' stirrings that there might be something bigger for him. He went home and he continued to grow in favor, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. As God, Jesus possesses some insights into the things of God that we don't know. That only comes to us as we age. On this Sunday after Christmas, we are invited to delight in the marvel, this amazing thing that God has done in becoming a human being like every one of us, and yet being God. So as we watch these remarkable children that we've been given, as we watch the remarkable grandchildren that we've been given, let us teach them that God has a plan for their lives as well. Let us teach them that eventually they will grow and leave the security of home like all of us have done. But when we do that, we're not alone. Jesus grew beyond Nazareth. Jesus grew into travels to Jerusalem. Jesus grew beyond the bounds of his own people as he connects with Gentiles. And as he grows ever closer to us in order to be with us, in order to save us, let us grow with him, astonished, astounded by what he says to us. It wasn't easy being a kid in Jesus' time. Any of us will say it might say that it's not wasn't easy for us to be a kid. But we go through, grow beyond that, and we grow through that. And it isn't easy for our young ones to grow. But for all of us, it remains true that it isn't easy to be a kid of God. It isn't easy to be a child of God, because God continues to draw us into spiritual growth. God continues to invite us into some of the mysteries that we hear about, that we've seen some others experience, and which God wants to open to us. It's not easy being a child of God, a kid. But it's better, for me anyway, than any plans I had for my own life. And I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up, but God surprised me and continues to surprise us. Amen. It is a blessing that we are able to share with God some of the gifts and treasure that we have. I invite the ushers to come and receive our offerings, those which support our ministries in this community and in the world. Thank you. Let us pray together. Loving God, we give you thanks for Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Receive the gifts we offer. Receive also our offering of Christ's gift for us. Clothe us with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, that we may be Christ for others. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I have a prayer request for Barb Lightheart. This is Roger DeVoe's sister, and she's in the hospital with congestive heart failure, going to be having some testing done. Prayers also for Debbie Martin. She's recovering from surgery, so we want to keep her on our list. Are there other people or situations? Let us pray. Gracious God, we are not done with Christmas yet, with the mystique, with the birth and the angels and the shepherds. And then we are put into this moment, into this scene where a 12-year-old boy wants to be a man, and we want to keep him a baby. Like his worried parents, we don't want to lose sight of him. What did it mean? What does it mean to us? We come to this building, we come to this place to worship, and we say that we are in God's house, and yet you are not only here, for our hearts are also your home. And so when we go out these doors and into the world and into this day and into this week that lies ahead of us, you go with us. And we are your presence in our families, in our work, in the places that we play, in our school, wherever we go. All that Jesus was and all that Jesus is a part of who you are creating us to be. So help us to be kind and patient. Help us to have compassion and mercy. Help us to be gentle as Jesus was. We pray for those in our community who need your healing presence. We pray for those beyond us. We pray for Debbie and for Barb. We name people in silence. trusting your healing presence and your love and your grace in all the ways and the places that you are needed. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayer now and those that we lift to you throughout the day. Open us so that we understand in new ways your loving presence and your challenge for us to continue to grow in wisdom and stature as Jesus did. Help us to hear the word that you have for us every day. Help us live into the fullness of who you are as we are made in your image. Hear this prayer and all that we lift to you, for we pray it in Jesus' name. We pray it with the same spirit that Jesus was and is. And we pray it as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And will you turn to hymn number 251, Go Tell It on the Mountain. As the Son of God came into this world and to the world, let his brothers and sisters go into the world giving thanks for life in word and deed, and let us grow in love for God and neighbor. Amen.